a thermodynamical system. So it appears that the direction of time that one obtains in the system has some kind of thermodynamical measure. So in anti de Sitter spacetime, using the ADS-CFT correspondence, we can get a microscopic understanding of the emergence of thermodynamical behavior in a gravitational collapse scenario. So, so ADS-CFT provides an unperturbative framework in which to study quantum gravity. So let me remind you of some facts about the correspondence. So on one side of the correspondence, we have, for example, n equal 4 epsilon super Young's theory compactified over a free sphere. And this corresponds to a theory of quantum gravity on a spacetime which is asymptotic to ADS phi. The classical limit of this theory of quantum gravity, which corresponds to taking the ratio of the Planck length with respect to the radius of the asymptotic ADS phi to zero, and the same with the string length, corresponds in the gauge theory side to taking the large end limit and the large toothed coupling limit of the gauge theory. So imagine taking a mass distribution, a classical mass distribution of mass n. This will correspond in the gauge theory to a state of energy of order n squared. And that is because we want to keep m times the Newton constant fixed as we take the classical limits, and the Newton constant goes like n to the minus 2. So as this classical mass collapses into an ADS phi Schwarzschild black hole, this black hole has a dual description in terms of putting this gauge theory to a finite temperature, which is the Bekenstein-Hawking temperature of the black hole. So we get a picture in which the gravitational collapse of this mass distribution has to be mapped into the thermalization process of state of very large energy in the gauge theory. However, in this picture, taking the large end limit is essential. And that is because for any finite n, the gauge theory compactified over the free sphere is a bounded quantum mechanical system. And as all such systems, it has a discrete energy spectrum. And the theory is time reversible, and there is no thermalization. So we see that the emergence of thermalization has to come from taking the large end limit in the gauge theory. Also, the Schwarzschild black hole is dual to the gauge theory only for temperature which is greater than a certain critical temperature. So what we look at is the gauge theory in the large end limit at temperatures greater than this critical temperature.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
If I take the quantum theory of the atoms in this room, mm-hmm. the energy spectrum is discrete, but certainly we describe thermodynamics in which we can start with a non-equilibrium distribution, and it comes to equilibrium. And it is the Poincaré constant, but we don't have to worry about that.
Very good. So that's exactly what we want to do. Basically, what you're doing with the atoms in this room is that you're considering a limit in which you have the energy of the total state is very high, and each single atom has, like, each single degree of freedom has an energy is excited, let's say, order one. Mm-hmm. So in the same way here, we want to take a gauge theory in the large end limit, and we consider states which have an energy of order n squared. So that means that basically we are exciting each oscillator in this theory a finite number of time, and this large end limit corresponds to taking the large volume limit for our thermodynamical system. So what we are doing is very much similar. The emergence of an error of time in the large end limit for the gauge theory is is exactly the same as the emergence of thermodynamical behavior for the atoms contained in this room. Are there other questions? Okay. So the observables that we study are real-time two-point functions of single trace scalar operators, O, which have dimension which does not scale with n at a finite temperature beta. So in particular, we consider this big Q n function g plus of t, which is defined here. This is the partition function of the system, or the retarded propagator, which is defined there. These correlators describe the linear response of the system as this perturbed away from equilibrium. And if the system thermalizes as t goes to infinity, the retarded propagator will go to zero, while in general, this Wittmann function can go to a constant. So when this happens, we'll say that a narrow time appears in the system. And from what we had said before, at for any finite n, this does not happen. So we are going to see what happens at large n. So also, technical statement, often we look at the same quantities in frequency space, so after Fourier transforming the time coordinate. Okay. So let me give you a plan of what I want to do. So first, I want to discuss some of the properties of these correlation functions that one can obtain in the large end limit and sending the tooth coupling to infinity from studying the gravity dual using ADS-CFT. After having seen what happens for very large values of the tooth coupling, I will consider the opposite regime, and I will study the gauge theory at small values of lambda. In particular, I will expand around lambda equals zero, and I will show that at each order in the planar perturbation expansion, there is no generation of an error of time. But I'll also show that at high temperature, in the large end limit, the planar perturbation expansion breaks down. In particular, there is a singularity for real-time correlation functions computed in frequency space at lambda equals zero. And finally, I will introduce a statistical method to look at the gauge theory at high temperature in the large end limit. And I will show that from the statistical method, one would get that an error of time is generated for all values of coupling which are different from zero. And finally, we conclude with some speculations and further work that could be done. Are there any questions? Okay, so in the large n and large tooth coupling limit, we can use classical gravity to compute the Supermajor-Niels correlators. So we will work in the ADS-5 Schwarzschild background, whose extended spacetime is represented here. The spacetime has two boundaries which are asymptotic to ADS-5. The spacetime is asymptotic to ADS-5. The boundary is S3 times R. R is the time direction. There is an horizon, and there are singularities in the past and in the future of the spacetime. Many questions arise. For example, we want to study if the correlators computed using the ADS-CFT correspondence actually decay in time. Second, we want to know if the region behind the horizon is somehow encoded into the correlation functions that we compute using the ADS-CFT correspondence. And if this is the case, what are the signatures of the singularity in the large end, large coupling limit. Also, we want to know what happens to these signatures when we keep n finite or we keep the tooth coupling finite. So much work has been done in computing two-point correlators in the ADS5 Rorschach background. This is a list of some properties that this function, this Lippmann correlator frequency space, has. So first of all, the presence of the horizon in the bulk implies a continuous spectrum for the Lippmann propagator. So we see that while at finite end the theory is a discrete spectrum, at infinite end the theory should have a continuous spectrum. Secondly, there are simple poles for complex values of the frequency omega, and these simple poles are on lines which divide the complex plane into different sectors. All the poles are away from the real axis, and therefore, if we take a Fourier transform of this function, we get that there is exponential decay in time for g plus of t, and therefore we say that an error of time is generated in the system. If one were to do the same with the retarded propagator, one would have poles only in the lower complex plane, and one would have like time decay for t which goes to plus t.
So, yeah. So question about that. I mean, you use the eternal ADS Schwarzschild black hole. So there is no arrow of time in that solution. That solution is time symmetric. So how is it that a preferred direction of time is generated here?
Well, that is reflecting the fact that, I mean, if I compute G, the advanced propagator, then the advanced propagator will decay in time for T, which goes to minus T.
So there really isn't, there's still a time symmetry.
Right, yes. But finite temperature correlation functions decay exponentially in time. And
that's your thermal equilibrium.
Right.
As if you were in thermal equilibrium.
Right, as if you were in thermal equilibrium.
Yeah. So maybe the way when you say an hour of time is generated, that's a bit misleading.
Right, one interesting thing is to extend this to study directly the gravitational collapse geometry, which is rather more complicated, but some work has been done, especially using the technique that I will describe in a moment. That's an important question that one has to look at. So if one considers the correlation functions of operators of large dimension, which is large, but still in the large end limit, it's parametrically smaller than n. this correlation function g plus omega have a direct relation with space-like geodesics propagating into the bulk. So given any omega, I get like one geodesic in the bulk. I can compute the length of this space-like geodesic, and from the length of the space-like geodesic, I can obtain the value of the correlation function.
Guido,
yes.
How would you expect the finite end behavior of the G plus?
I will do that. So if we take omega on the real axis, this geodesic probes the Euclidean section of the black hole, which is represented here. This is the Euclidean time period identified with period I beta. And as omega goes to plus infinity along the real axis, the geodesics approaches the boundary of the space-time. And this is like the usual UVIR correction in the SCFT. in this way, a radial coordinate is generated holographically in the gauge theory by looking at behavior of the correlation functions along the real axis. We can reconstruct the geometry on the real section or on the Euclidean section of the black hole. However, if now we take omega along the imaginary axis, the corresponding space-like geodesics lives in the Lorentzian section of the black hole, and in particular crosses the horizon and approaches the singularity. As omega goes to plus I infinity, these geodesics becomes more and more lifelike, and for a lifelike geodesics, like it will eat the singularity and bounce back. So we see that the correlation functions for large imaginary values of the frequency contain information about the metric inside the horizon. And actually, we have shown that there are some precise characteristics of these correlation functions which reflect the presence of a singularity into the back. Another thing which is worth noticing is that the radial coordinate in this sector of the space-time is actually time-like. And therefore, the gauge theory is encoding holographically a time direction for omega along the imaginary axis.
So what are the signatures? Is there some signatures?
What are some signatures?
So there is some signature in the gauge theory of...
Oh, right, yes, sure. So there are two signatures. One is given by the fact that the correlation function has exponential decay for omega, which goes to plus I infinity, which is different from the behavior for omega, which goes to real infinity. And the fact that these two behaviors are different is made possible by the presence of the quasi-normal foil lines, which extends up to infinity. So one cannot obtain the asymptotic behavior for imaginary values of omega from the asymptotic behavior for real values of omega by simple analytic continuation. And the fact that the correlation functions decays exponentially for omega, which goes to plus I infinity, is related to the fact that a light-like geodesic hits the singularity in a finite boundary time. There is a second, more subtle signature of the singularity in the gauge theory, which has to do with derivatives of the gauge of the correlation function with respect to, so here we are considering scalar operators, but in general one can consider moment operators carrying some angular momentum over the S3. Then if one considers the momentum dependence of these correlators for very high values of the frequency, one can find that there are divergences which are connected to the fact that there is a free sphere shrinking at the singularity.
Sorry, is this signature dependent on
dimension,
space-time?
Well, so here we are considering the Diels-Pasch. In general, one could extend this to other dimensions. And for example, for the ADS-3 case and the BTC black hole, the second signature that I was talking about won't be there.
But the first one?
The BTC case is a little bit different because the quasi-normal poles are actually, like, the lines of quasi-normal poles are actually vertical. And therefore, for, like, angular momentum, for zero angular momentum, they're actually on the imaginary axis. So there is this new asymptotic region does not really open up. So this is a little bit more complicated. But for any dimension greater than 3, 4, 5, 7, etc., like this asymptotic region is present. and the correlation function like decays exponentially along the imaginary direction, and this exponential decay is precisely related to the presence of a light like the density of the singular.
Supposing I were an observer to the future of the horizon and approaching the singularity, could I send a signal that could be detected by measuring something in gauge theory on the boundary by using this effect?
In other words,
if you have somehow you're measuring information which classically is behind the horizon on the ADS boundary, you're doing something which naively appears to violate causality.
Right. I like to think about this question. All these geodesics that we are considering are space-like. So, I don't think there is. I don't think one can recover from this.
Is it possible that you're able to describe holographically, you know, the particular geometry of the black hole, but you would not be able to describe holographically the geometry of a black hole with an observer?
I think is what will happen, but I don't have a precise statement about that. Yeah, that would be like an interesting thing to look at. Sure. Yeah, that I think would be like what is gonna happen. One cannot reconstruct from the boundary theory, like what the observer falls in this measure. Yeah. Okay, so to summarize what happens in the large N and large lambda limit, they found out that new asymptotic regions for G plus omega open up because of the presence of these lines of quasi-normal poles. The presence of the black hole singularity is encoded into the behavior of G plus omega for large imaginary values of the frequency. And this correlation function has continuous spectrum. And all poles are away from their axis. And so this correlation function decay as t goes to plus infinity.
Sorry, but these correlation functions you're talking about are for what operators?
So these are operators which correspond to some bulk scalar fields propagating in the edge of structure.
So it doesn't matter in your finite dimensional operator?
Yeah.
We
should be spot, yes.
But do you want a very high dimension in order to try this?
I want very high dimension. For example, the fact that G plus omega is a continuous spectrum should not depend on the dimension of the operator. The precise correspondence with the space like geodesics, that's valid only in the large dimension list. Yes.
But then you have also to be very careful because you cannot make the dimension too large because then the correspondence will be to string models.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's parametrically, yes, it must be large, but parametrically smaller than, yes.
But the simplest part is sympletic behavior is true for regardless of
the that will be valid regardless of the dimension, yes.
But if the dimension is too high, doesn't the scalar field blow up at the boundary? I'm not sure for the initial question, but for
the end. No, I don't see. I don't think that it's anything. You say the.
There's an idea, I don't know what to expect, but the idea is you have a field that's two of an operator that has dimension 4 or less.
Right.
Then it decays in some way, but if it's bigger, it blows up.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So then, in order to compute the correlation functions, one has to do some kind of subtraction of the of the asymptotic behavior of the fields going to the boundary. So yeah, there are some technical issues, but I mean, there is a well-defined way to compute G plus omega by looking at the solutions of the Laplace equation for a scalar field in the ADS5 Schwarzschild background.
And for operators very large.
Yeah, even for like
the I think what Zamba is pointing out is that I think this issue is one answer is that the divergent pieces they're usually compact terms. Especially, I think the problem here is that if you make a dimension very large, right, then you have a non-normalizable open. I mean, you're modifying the theory by
I'm worried that you're changing the syntactic behavior of this.
Yes. Right.
So that's not a syntactic. Is this syntactically ADS?
Yeah, it's a syntactically ADS.
But if the scalar field is blowing up, you're changing the boundary.
Right.
It's like in a field theory, you become an eleven operator. You change the UV behavior. Sorry, you become an eleven operator. You change completely the UV behavior.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you're doing. That would correspond to doing some very bad damage to asymptotic ADS.
Well, again, it's you don't need to deform a series, right? So you can study in a context of, say, ADS5, what's the correlation function of this operator. And then there will be a divergent term. You cannot subtract divergences. I mean, in Young Mill, you can study, you know, correlation function of dimension 6 operators for self-deform.
But here, I thought you have an unnormalizable module, you're deforming.
It's really like in a gauge theory when I have a dimension 25 operator.
No, but in the dictionary, if you have a mode in the block, there is a field that the source in the boundary, and you have an expectation value.
Yeah.
So you automatically, well, okay, so unless there's something funny going with this mode in the block, you're going to have to deform the gauge.
But perhaps we can talk about this private data. So at finite end, as I said, like the theory is a bounded quantum mechanical system, and therefore is a discrete spectrum. So if one writes down a spectral representation for this Lickmann correlation function, what one gets is that this correlation function will be a sum of the delta functions supported on for real values of the frequency. So in particular, that means that there is no simple way to extend this picture for like complex omega, and all the signatures of the singularity that we have found at infinite n disappear. So this seems to point out to the fact that quantum gravity effects, which corresponds to taking finite n, should resolve the singularity. But still, it leaves open the question of what happens by considering finite lambda corrections, even in the large n limit. So what happens, what about alpha prime corrections?
You wouldn't expect a spectrum which is bounded from the node? From the harmonic oscillator?
Oh, yeah. The spectrum of the theory will be bounded from below. But like in the correlation function, like normally what happens is that differences in the energies in the spectrum appear. And this can be both negative or positive. So the questions we would want to answer to are, do these features that they've found at lambda infinity and n which goes to infinity survive for finite values of decoupling? Also, is there a physical mechanism in the gauge theory for the emergence of time decay for this correlation function in the large n limit? And if these features survive at finite lambda, is there a critical value of lambda for which in the large n limit correlation function will display decay for lambda greater than this critical value and will not display thermal behavior for lambda smaller than this critical value? So in order to understand these issues, we turned our attention to what happens in the gauge theory around lambda equals zero. Okay. So the models that we considered are come from what happens by taking the dimensional reduction of n equal 4 superiomials over a three sphere. These models are basically made of a collection of harmonic n times n harmonic oscillators, which transform under the adjoint of a UN gauge group. All the frequencies are different from zero, and in particular, in the case of the dimensional reduction of n equal 4 superiomials, so the frequencies are multiple of a same fundamental frequency, which is set by the inverse radius of the three sphere. And the interaction piece is a sum over single traces of the matrices n alpha. often we all consider only like the theories with a bosonic sector. For the case of n equal 4 superiomials, one would have to add also fermionic sector. an important feature of all the models, of the matrix models that we consider, is that there are at least two matrices in the model. And this is due to the fact that due to the gauge symmetry, all the states of the system have to be singlets under this UN. And in the case of one single matrix, this like reduces the number of degrees of freedom of the theory too much. So we need at least two matrices. So in the large n limit, this gauge theories have a phase transition for critical temperature Tc. And the properties of this phase transition is that the free energy and the entropy of the system for temperature which are smaller than the critical temperature don't scale with n, while for temperature which are greater than the critical temperature, both the free energy and the entropy are of order n squared. The presence of this high temperature phase has been displayed both in the weakly interacting regime by Haroni, Minvalla, and others, and in the strongly interacting one by Witten.
Does the critical temperature depends on n somewhere?
No. So the critical temperature is only present in the large n limit. So there is a phase transition only in the large n limit. So as you see, like the behavior changes dramatically in the large n limit. In this case, it's proportional to n squared. In this case, it does not scale with n. For finite values of n, there is no phase transition.
But there is the critical temperature would depend on the
tooth cutting. Can in principle depend on the tooth cutting? Yeah, it does. Yeah. What is important is that like we know it's present both at strong and weak coupling. So we will study our models in the high temperature phase. So at lambda equals zero, in the free theory, the operators we are considering are a trace of a number of these fundamental matrices which does not scale with n. And therefore, these operators will only mediate the exchange of finite number of excitations in the theory. And that in particular means that the two-point functions we compute are quasi-periodic in time. If we go order by order in perturbation theory, what we get for G plus of omega, for example, in the case in which all the frequencies are equal to omega naught, is that G plus of omega is a sum over delta functions and derivatives of the delta functions supported at multiples of this fundamental frequency omega naught, k is an integer number. And for at each order in perturbation theory, the number of possible frequencies appearing depends on the order n at which we are computing the correlation function and on the length of the operator O that we are considering. So at each order in perturbation theory, only a finite number of frequencies appear, and therefore the correlation functions have a quasi-periodic behavior. Well, in this case, they're actually periodic with period omega naught. And therefore, there is it seems that there should be no thermalization as we talk. Are there any questions?
Can I change this statement? If we consider any perturbative quantum theory?
Well, we are considering these particular theories, these particular metrics models. But yes, if I take any gauge theory and I compactify it on a compact space, then the spectrum of the free theory will be discrete. And I expect at any order in the planet perturbation theory not to find internalization.
Because of the compact.
Yeah, because of the compact. If I consider the non-compact case, then I have a continuous spectrum even like the free theory. Yeah, that will be completely different. Yeah, this is very different compact case. Other questions? Okay. So now I will argue that in the large N and limit at high temperature, the planar perturbation expansion actually breaks down. So first of all, let's remind that at T equals zero, at temperature equals zero, the planar perturbation theory is supposed to converge for small values of the Tooth coupling. And that's basically because the number of diagrams in the planar limit does not grow factorially with the order in perturbation theory. So what we claim is that this property ceases to be valid for values of the temperature which are greater than the critical temperature. So what we'll do is to consider a very simple two-matrix model which has only two matrices, M1 and M2. That's the minimal number in order to have an high temperature phase with the same frequency omega naught and an aquatic interaction, which is given here. And we will consider the Feynman propagator for finite temperature for one of these matrices, M1, which has a certain perturbation series. And we'll extract from this perturbation series only the terms which are proportional to the Feynman propagator at lambda equals zero times a series in lambda t to the power n multiplied by some coefficient an that we have to compute. So actually, we won't compute this series exactly. What we'll do is we will identify a subset of planar diagrams which give a divergent contribution. So the diagrams that we consider appears at in perturbation theory at this order, n minus 1, where n is a natural number, and the diagrams look like those drawn here. That is, one can get from one diagram to the next by an iterative procedure. Actually, one can quite easily extend this computation to the case where one considers all even powers in the perturbation expansion. So what we find is that asymptotically for large n, these diagrams give a contribution to the previous series here, which is of the form some constant, which depends on beta of the temperature, times lambda times t to the power dn. So it does not make much sense to consider what this constant is in the for zero temperature, because our computation relies on the fact that we are in the high temperature case. But nevertheless, one can like see what happens to this constant for beta which goes to infinity. And what one finds is that this constant is actually zero. So if we were to do a computation at for like zero temperature, what we will find is that these terms are not even there. So the radius of convergence of the perturbation series, therefore, I mean, this contribution to the perturbation series that we've computed decreases as time increases. And in particular, it's proportional to 1 over t times this constant, which depends on beta. So now that does not seem to be particularly harmful. But the fact that the radius of convergence decreases with time means that if we look, for example, at correlation function in frequency space, let's take a Fourier transform, and what we get is that this series becomes something of this form. Still, there is terms which is c to this constant times lambda to the n. Then there is basically the propagator at lambda equals 0 to the power of the n. And then there is the appearance of this factor, dn factorial. Therefore, this series actually diverges for any value of lambda and for any frequency. So this is not the complete propagator. It's only a contribution to the propagator, which comes by considering the diagrams above. Nevertheless, this contribution diverges. So if the theory, like if instead like the theory converges, that means that there should be something else which cancels out this contribution.
Is that a negative invariant state that only goes, that when you only consider a subset of the diagram? I mean, is this a negative invariant result?
First of all, we are considering the propagator for a single matrix, which is not even gauge invariant by itself. So one would want to see this diagram.
Right to that conclusion for a physical quantity number one?
Yeah.
And the second one is, I mean, is that truncation, a gauge invariant truncation of the final diagram?
The first question is that we can use like these same diagrams in the in order to compute the correlation function of for example the trace of Q, an operator corresponding to the trace of these Q matrices, and like these diagrams will appear somewhere in the perturbation expansion. So like the same divergence will appear also in the perturbation expansion for some the correlator of a gauge invariant form. As what regards the second question, I think I'd have to think about it. So you're asking like, am I sure that like there isn't like a symmetry argument for which this contribution like I don't know. I think the answer is that there won't be a symmetry argument. Let's think about.
Is this divergence is what is known as a Lenoir?
Well, I mean, I am considering a quantum mechanics which does not have any problems of renormalization. So it appears similar, like the structure of the series appears similar to like the structure of the series in like this renormalization.
This phenomenon of the renormalization has to do with the behavior of correlation functions near the origin of coupling.
So in this case also we have an essential singularity frequency space at lambda equals zero. That can be seen from the fact that the time dependence here comes like with lambda t. So if we were to do like a Fourier transform, we'll get some function which goes like e to the omega divided by lambda. So like there actually is an essential singularity at lambda equals zero, and this comes up in like the factorial dependence of the high terms in the series.
Yeah.
mean, for a lot of the questions, that any perturbation theory that quantum mechanics, we know it's not going to be convergent.
Yes, so very good. Very good question. The problem is in the large end limit. So in the large end limit, it's not true. The planar diagrams don't grow, like number of planar diagrams don't grow factorially like n. And therefore, like people believe that the perturbation series is actually converging. One can also see like that, for example, the usual argument about the quartic interaction being giving rise to an extensor singularity, because if I change the phase of the coupling, the potential will be unbounded from below. But it does not work, because if I have large n, then it's true that my potential will go from being something like this, like the quartic piece will go down, so it will be unbounded from below. But the tunneling rate for like going out of like in the unbounded region actually depends it's exponentially suppressed depends. So that one can see by like working for a simple one matrix model. And in that case, one can actually show that like the perturbation series is converging. Okay, so to summarize, we found an essential singularity for real-time correlation functions at lambda equals zero. One could like find the same set of diagrams for more complicated interactions. like basically, for any theory which has a quartic interaction, some version of the graphs I have displayed will appear, even if like the combinatorial factors will be different, but we don't expect this to change the factorial behavior in the terms. It could be that there are unforeseen cancellations, but for example, supersymmetry, as we are at finite temperature, should not be the reason for such cancellation, as the statistics of fermions and bosons is different, so the occupation numbers at finite temperature are different, and like the cancellation which happens at t equals zero should not happen for finite values of t. We actually have done some computation in a very simple supersymmetric model, and the divergence remains. So we need some non-perturbative method to deal with the large end limit of the theory, as the temperature is greater than the critical temperature. But also, we would want to have a qualitative explanation for the breakdown. So let me give like an interpretation for this breakdown. So first of all, let's consider the spectrum of n equal 4 superior meals at lambda equals 0. So the spectrum has the following properties. First of all, the energy levels are equally spaced. And the spacing is given by the inverse radius of the free sphere, where we are compactifying the theory. And the degeneracy of the states with energy which does not scale with n does not scale with n itself, while the degeneracy of states which energy scales with n squared is exponential in n squared. So when we compute things in the high temperature phase, what we are doing is probing states which have an energy of order n squared above the ground state. So what we are doing is probing the theory for these states, which have a very large degeneracy. This corresponds still like to this idea that the large end limit is some sort of thermodynamical limit, in which the number of degrees of freedom goes to infinity, and the mean excitation for each degree of freedom remains finite. So suppose we want to apply time-independent perturbation theory at first order for these states, which have very, very high energy. So what we have to do is to diagonalize the interaction in one of these subspaces with degeneracy, which is of order exponentially n squared. So then, generically, we'll expect the interaction to break the degeneracy, and therefore like the degeneracy to be generically lifted, and the level spacing to be of order exponentially in n minus exponential n squared, so therefore we have a spectrum, we have a resulting spectrum which is very, very finely spaced. Also, it's a simple, quite general large n argument that the spread of the eigenvalues of the interaction restricted to one of these degenerate states is of order lambda times n. And this is greater than the free theory level spacing, which is of order 1. Therefore, we see that perturbation theory has to break down, because it does not make sense that by doing the computation at first order, we get a splitting. We already get level crossing at first order for any value of lambda as we take n which goes to infinity. Any questions? OK, so motivated by this, we try to see if there is some non-perturbative method to deal with the theory at lambda different from zero in the large limit at high temperatures. So what we want to do is to treat the system for for very high energies statistically. So we'd want to treat the interaction for this in the free theory for very high energy states as a random matrix, which will have some structure inherited by the structure of the action of the models we are considering. In particular, the interaction will have a banded structure, that is, only states which have a finite energy difference will be connected by interaction. Also, it is possible to find an appropriate basis of the free theory eigenstates in which the matrix is sparse, but has a large connectivity, which is of order n to the fourth, if the original theory has interaction terms which are quartic. And also, the density of states in the free theory increases with the energy. This is actually the property which makes more difficult to use results in the literature about random matrices. And to my knowledge, there is not much literature about the properties of eigenstates and eigenvalues of random matrices in these particular ensembles we are considering. So it is an interesting problem in itself. So if you make this assumption, what we get in the large limit for any lambda different from zero is a continuous spectrum for G plus omega and time decay coordinate space as t goes to infinity. Therefore, we say that the direction of time is generated for any lambda different from zero. So if at the end of the talk I have more time, I can try to explain in some more detail how we got to this result. But there's yeah, so it's better perhaps to jump here and go to the conclusions. So what we find is that at high temperature, greater than critical temperature, in the large n limit, the theory has a continuous spectrum for any finite value of the coupling. And the time decay is generated for the correlation functions as the perturbed system relaxes toward thermal equilibrium. Conversely, we know that at finite n, the system shows quasi-periodic behavior for any value of the coupling. And also, planar perturbation theory should break down for high temperature at lambda equals zero. So now let me say that for values of the temperatures are less than the critical temperature, correlation functions of these single trace gauge invariant operators can be obtained from the result at t equals zero by simply identifying the time arguments of the operator under t goes into t plus I beta. And therefore, as the perturbation planar perturbation series for t equals zero converges at lambda equals zero, that means that also for any value of the temperature lesser than Tc, in the large limit, the perturbation series will converge. So For t less than tc, the perturbation theory converges at lambda equals 0. And for t greater than tc, the perturbation theory breaks down at lambda equals 0. Okay? Finally, some speculations. So it would seem that as the correlation functions display time decay when in the large n limit for finite value of lambda, to see that the high temperature phase per weakly coupled Young Mills in the large n limit should be due to some sort of stringy black hole, and that black holes singularities may survive alpha prime corrections. Well, this also, like in this random matrix approach, we find that the matrix elements of this operator between eigenstates of the interacting theory at lambda different from zero have properties which have been conjectured to appear in quantum chaotic systems, and therefore there could be a connection with the chaotic behavior of classical gravity near a space-like singularity. Also, we think that improving the statistical analysis by using random matrices could help in understanding all these issues. In particular, it would be nice to be able to obtain more information about the analytic structure of the correlators in the large n limit for lambda different than zero, and to try to make a connection with the behavior that we found from the analysis in the ADS5 Schwarzschild black hole background. And in this way, we could like perhaps be able to see the signatures of the singularity that we obtained in the large n and large lambda limit survive at small lambda. Okay, so that's it.
In your last results, were you still using that two-matrix model that you showed before?
My last result, you mean this?
No, before that, like... Yeah, there.
Yes.
Is that the two-matrix model?
Let's say that for like these properties for like the random matrix that comes that one has to consider are quite general and will like appear in like many different models. So the properties that we are actually able to obtain for this G plus of omega, we believe, are pretty general. But they are also quite generic in the sense that they don't really show much about the particular theory we start with. So like, if one were able to like understand better the these random matrices, then it would be possible to distinguish between various different gauge theories.
Because the thing is that the example you gave to matrix model, in reality, the Samuels theory is composed of infinite matrices coupled together.
Sure, sure, so yeah, that's
right. So I wonder if that is like such a big simplification that the fact that you have infinite models in the sphere really will change these results a lot.
Alright, that's a really good question. And then I would like to have a definite answer for that.
They're not coupled as simply as you suggest. I mean, even if you integrate the higher spherical harmonics and you only look at, say, mm-hmm. scalar, the S wave models, then, I mean, the fractions will be very complicated and not even locally time.
Right, sure. I mean, in order to extend this to make like very precise statements about n equal 4 super emis, it's like still long. It's quite a way. But I think it's nice that we see that for this theory, it has high temperature phase in which the entropy scales like n squared, one recovers a continuous spectrum in the large n limit for any finite lambda value of the coupling. And this, I believe, is like a property which will continue to be true also in n equal 4 square. Actually, we know that for like large value of the coupling, it's true. in any possible way.
Okay, so I put the problem of time, so unless I state other problems to the speaker later. Okay. So,